Message. On the back of your bulletin, Jan put the title of this message on there. It says Abraham, Isaac, and question mark. Amen. If you've spent any time in the Bible or church, you probably know who the question mark is, right? I hope. But before Jacob was born, there was a question mark. Because there was an Esau. Amen? And Esau was before Jacob. He was born before him. Alright? Have you ever got excited? I don't know if there's any preachers in here. But see, I got this message like Thursday. See, usually I don't get Mother's Day messages or Christmas messages or Easter messages. I just get messages and, you know, I try to work them in there best I can. But God said, you're going to preach to women. I'm like, man... because I'm not one. Amen? And I'm not going to pretend like I know what women go through. Amen? Because I'm not going to be able to figure that out. Amen? That's one of the great mysteries of the world. But with God's help, this message, I believe, is going to reach across every spectrum this morning. And I'm being honest with you. This is not your typical Mother's Day message. This thing is real. And I hope you want real. Because I could preach you something and you'd go out here and say, man, moms are great. They are. But I want you to walk out of here, mothers, women, fathers, sons and daughters, going, there's a good God who gave me a good mom, and moms do what they got to do. But I want you to be the best mother, grandmother, husband, son, daughter you can be when you leave here. That's what I believe God's given us this message. Hey, if you haven't found Genesis chapter 24 yet, we're in trouble. Amen? Because Genesis is the first book of the Bible. God, all right, y'all good? Genesis chapter 24, verse 64, 65. Verse 64 and 65. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Some people say she fell head over heels. Some people just said she jumped off and was excited to see her husband, amen? And Isaac was perceiving, he was surveying the land. He was looking over his people, his flock, his sheep, just like Jesus looks over us. He was waiting for his bride to come. And she said, who is this man? He said, this is the Lord. This is the one you're going to marry. This is my master. This is Isaac. And she came off that camel, amen? Come on, never mind. Some of you girls in here, you act cute. I'm talking about the first time you saw him. Amen? Y'all better come. Hey, I'm going to be honest with you. If you don't start helping me preach, I'm going to get somebody else to do it. Amen? You remember when you first saw him. Amen? He was fine, wasn't he? Brushed his teeth, put deodorant on, combed his hair, put some of his daddy's cologne on, maybe some of that old English aftershave, it knocked you down in him too. Amen? Help me, amen. Some of you elders, help me right there, all right? Got that brute, amen. I remember one time I was trying to impress a girl, went in there and found my daddy's. I said, brute, that'll do it. Come on, right? Remember when you first saw him, amen. Remember when you first saw her. For he said unto his servant, what man is this? She walketh... For she had said unto her servant, what man is this walketh in the field to meet us? Verse 65. And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. I want y'all to hear this very clearly. Mothers, if you do it right, you'll work yourself out of being a mother. I know you don't like that. I know you don't like to hear that. But it's biblical. You will leave mother and father and cleave to one another. Amen? If you do this right, that son or that daughter will walk one day and say, I have found my future love and I'm leaving. And I'm going to go and be the husband. I'm going to go and be the wife to this person. And I love you and I thank you for everything. It doesn't mean you're not their mother. It just means, guess what? Remember, you were a wife before you were a mom. Remember, you were a wife before you were a mom. Some of you forget that. Some of us forget that. We think it's all about the kids. Oh, it can be all about the kids, but let me tell you something. If it's not about marriage, then your ministry is failing. If it's not about the marriage, your ministry. Yes, motherhood is a ministry. I tell you, dads, fatherhood's a ministry too. Because you're passing off, you're letting them know who God is, who you trust in, who you follow, but you're also teaching them how to love your spouse. Whew. Your kids are watching you. Dad, how do you love mom? That's why it's important. It's not just about the kids. It's not just about finances. It's not just about the house. Because that son's watching you. And he's saying, that's how dad loves mom. And that's how I love my wife. Whew. Dads are sitting here right now going, I can't believe he's getting on us. This is not our day. Amen? Those daughters are watching you too, fathers. They're watching you too, and they're seeking out a man to give them attention, and they're trying to see how it's done. So they're going to gauge every man by how you act. Amen? Now back to you mothers. How you deal with your husband, how you deal with your spouse, is how your daughter's going to deal with her spouse. If it's chilly in the house, maybe it's chilly because it's always a complaint, it's always a problem, it's always an issue. Somebody go start the car. Lamar, help me out. I see him. He's got, all right. And if it's all about the kids, oh, well, the kids got to see this, and the kids got to be there, and they got to do this, and it's the kids, and I love kids, don't get me wrong, and kids are important, but you were a wife before you were a mother. And at the end, maybe you'll still be a wife after the kids are gone. Your relationship better be strong. Your relationship better be strong. They need to see you love each other. They need to see you pray for one another. They need to see you go to church with one another. Amen? Amen? They need to see it. Now I'm going to preach a little special niche right here. God said I could put this in, so don't get mad at me. God said I could work this in. Amen? If you're a wife here and you've never been a mother, you are a mother. All motherhood is loving someone with compassion and love and bringing them up. You might be the best mother aunt that's ever walked on the face of the planet. There's some aunts in here that are rocking it. Amen? Knocking it out of the park. There's some women in here that didn't have children, but guess what? You adopted. Guess what? You're knocking it out of the park, because guess what? You went and found a child and says, I love you. No matter who you are, I love you anyway. Whew, never mind. I thought that was good. Amen? And there's some of you in here, I want to tell you this right out of my heart. You're a church mom. And my God, you're raising a whole generation up. You're making cakes, you're making sandwiches, you're praying, you're teaching, you're working in class, you're working in the nursery, and you're doing things, and people look at you and they say, hey, that's my spiritual mom. Amen? You know, it's hard to be a spiritual mom, because guess what? You gotta love people that don't belong to you. It'd be easier to punt them than to love them. Never mind, I said that. What I mean by not physically punting them, come on now. I'm not kicking kids. I'm just saying you just give them to somebody else. Amen? You just punt them over to the other class or the other teacher. But you love them anyway. Amen? You're amazing. And God sees it. I know a lady right now, she's an elderly lady. She never had kids. You know what she did? She adopted alcoholics and addicts. That's all she did. She worked with men. Her and her husband worked with men almost their whole lives that were addicts. And he said, these are my sons. She's probably got more sons than anybody I know. Amen? So just because you ain't got kids, well, ain't no mom. Yes, you are. Amen? Because you can raise up another generation. If you go to this church, you are definitely a mother. Hey, we need you. Amen? There's going to be people coming in this door don't know what a mom is. They need love. They need encouragement. Amen? Good? Genesis chapter 25 and verse 20. Let's bring the kids into it. Y'all ready? And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of the Padan-Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived, and the children struggled within her, and she said, If it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord, verse 23, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one shall be stronger than the other peoples, and the elder shall serve the younger. Y'all liking this? This is good. Hey, your kids come into it and it gets crazy, don't it? No, come on. I love this. Hey, remember when it gets tough raising your kids? You prayed for them jokers. You men, hey, I'm telling you, it says it in there first. Isaac prayed before Rebekah did. It said the Lord, he entreated the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. He said, Lord, help her, bring me some children. Amen? Hey, when they're there, remember you prayed for them, amen? And she was praying too, because every woman, oh Lord, let me be a mom. Back then they were thinking every woman that was a Jewish person or an Israelite was believing that they were going to bring forth the Christ. They all wanted to be a mother. Amen? They wanted to be the mother. But guess what? Lord, give me, next thing you know, she's got two nations going on in here. God, never mind. Some of y'all say amen when I hit something right there. Listen, hey, she had two nations on the inside of the womb. Amen. Amen. She had two different people, Esau and Jacob, two nations, and they were warring in the womb. Amen. There was a WWE or a MMA match going on in mama's belly. You sucker. Right? It was going on. It said they warred in the womb. Amen. Listen, you got to love your kids from cute to crazy. You got to love your kids from cute to crazy, because when they come out, they're cute. Man, listen, it was crazy. Hey, Esau come rolling out there, he was hairy. And dude, this joker come out there and he looked like something like a little Chewbacca. And they're like, look at that. And his daddy, listen, his daddy Isaac looked at him and said, look at my boy. He's going to be a hunting machine. He came with his own camouflage. And he was a hunting machine. Amen. And his daddy loved when he went out and killed the deer and brought it in. You can read all the way through and find out. He was a machine. Esau was. And he come out and his daddy said, oh, my boy. And Jacob come out. Smooth talker. Probably his mama looked at him and said, my boy. Amen. Quiet. Going to sleep all night. Not give me a fit. But his name's Jacob. He is a deceiver. Amen. Never mind. Some of y'all had some deceiving kids. You say, amen. No, not too loud because they might hear you. Amen. But it was cute because as soon as they come out of the womb, Jacob was grabbing Esau's ankle. It's cute. Amen. Some of you mothers help me out. It's cute when they're babies, right? Look at him. Look at Jacob. He's grabbing Esau's ankle. It almost looks like he's wanting to twist it. It's crazy. It's so cute. It's cute until they're two. Hey, look, Jacob's got a brick. Oh, wait, he's going after Esau. No, get that. Give me that brick, son. Don't do that. Come on, some of y'all need to help me out. You know what I'm talking about. You raised them kids. You know what I'm talking about. You got one over here who's an angel, and you got the other one sitting over there, I'm going to kill him. Amen? And if you're blessed enough, some of you got three and four kids. You know what I'm talking about. It seems like you got a whole, what, not two nations, but a United Nations. Amen. Sometimes you just want to run up the white flag and say, I surrender. Oh! Amen. Come on, help me. But listen, you prayed for them, you brought them. This is your time to train them up, show them Jesus. This is your ministry. Listen, I'm going to preach to women and men here. If your children are not your ministry, you can save the whole world and be a failure by not ministering to your children. Listen, I don't want everybody to say, man, he's a great man. I don't want everybody to say, man, his wife's a great wife. If our kids don't love the Lord, if they don't know who Jesus is, if we didn't do right by raising them up. Now, you're not going to guarantee. Your kids aren't guaranteed to do anything just because you raise them. Listen, but I'm going to be honest with you. You better do your part with your kids. They need to see God in your life. They need to see it walked out. And I'm not talking about church. I love church. It's great that you're here. Amen? It's great that you're here. It's great that you're participating. But I'm talking about Monday and Tuesday and tax day. Did I say tax day? Amen? That day you get off of work and you're mad. Has anybody in here ever just been mad? I mean, you're just aggravated to be aggravated. Amen? And your kids are watching. And that's when you got to show them Christ too. That's when you got to get down and say, listen, hey, mama's just angry, and I said some things, and I've done some things today that I'm not proud of. I need you to pray for me, and I'll pray for you when you have a day like mommy had today. You ever do that? It's important. It's important. I've had to go to my kids and say, well, Dad, I had to go, hey, I'm wrong. Amen? Now, you ain't going to get my belt, and you ain't giving me whooping, but I will tell you, I'm wrong. Amen? And I'm trying. And I'll do better. Amen? It's important. You're raising your kids. That's your greatest ministry. You brought them into this world, praise God. You prayed for them. They're here. And even to the cute and even to the crazy. And let me tell you, there's going to be some crazy. And we'd like to hide our crazy, wouldn't we? God, never. I wish I could get real in here with y'all. Some of y'all can hide crazy good. You come in here, hey, brother, how's it going? Great. And you know it's been a crazy week. Your kids don't always have to do the right thing. They won't always do the right thing. They won't always say the right thing. And they won't always meet your mold. They won't know what I mean is they won't even always meet the family mold. The family, oh, my kids are just great. No, sometimes they'll drive you nuts. And they'll do stuff. Hey, listen, they learn you better than you learn you. They'll push your buttons. Oh, I know this makes mommy mad. This makes daddy mad. Amen. And they know what to say to bring you out of your Christian shell. Never mind. See ya. Oh, brother, the Lord just dwells among our home. Yeah, I know. I know He does. What happens when all heck breaks loose in your home and your kids go crazy and you do the wrong thing? Well, you know, that's a different story. Amen? Me and my wife, we never argue. We never fuss. We never fight. And our kids are perfect. They do everything right. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. The rest of us don't know what you're talking about. Sometimes you got to pray through. Sometimes you got to say, God, I don't know what I'm doing, but help me. Give me some wisdom. Give me some understanding on what to do and how to minister to these kids because I think I'm failing sometimes. Some of you in this room have felt like a failure as a parent. You're not failing because why? Because you're there. Hey, the biggest part about parenting is being there. Amen? That's one thing me and my wife do. We'll tell our kids, no matter what's going on, if she's frustrated with me or I'm frustrated with her, I make it a point. Hey, we ain't going nowhere. We're just going to get through this. We're going to argue. We're going to have a fuss. Hey, it's going to be some issues. If you live with somebody for 15, 20 years, there's going to be an issue. And if they're not, please come and tell me your secrets. And if you are doing like that, praise God, take my kids home with you and let them watch it. Never mind, I'm just kidding. Are you understanding? They're your ministry. They are your ministry. And guess what? They can be a blessing to you. The Bible calls them arrows in your quiver. It says they'll meet the enemy in the gate. You know, if you do this thing right, they'll be your biggest defense at the end of your life. They'll be the people standing there helping you. And encouraging you and praying for you and lifting you up and taking you to church and doing the things that you want to do. And praise God. And you'll sit and listen. I ain't been there yet, but I've started to see some inklings of this. Amen. Some stories have come back. Your kid done this or your kid done that. And I wasn't there. Praise God. That's a good feeling when somebody says, hey, your child's a good man of God. Hey, your child's a good woman of God. You're sitting there going, oh man, I thought I broke those eggs. Amen. Amen? Anybody in here got some older kids, and at one time you just thought they could go any other way, and next thing you know, you look over and they're sitting with you in church? Hey, man, that's good, ain't it? They're good men, right? That's good, ain't it? Y'all ready to move on just a little bit further? Oh, golly, this gets good. Go to Genesis chapter 27. Now, I'm not going to give you this whole chapter, and I know this message is long, but hey, some of y'all need to hear this. Good stuff. Genesis chapter 27. Man, this is so good. And there was a... Ah, that ain't it. And it came to pass, when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son, he said unto him, Behold, here I am. And he said, Behold, now I am old, and know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons and quiver and bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may be blessed, and bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went out to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I hear thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless it thee before the Lord before my death. Now let's stop right there. I want to go back to Genesis chapter 24. And 23 and 24 is going to be right. We're going to be 25, verse 23 and 24 in just a moment. But I want to show you something. Write this down as a note. Sometimes mama's got to do what mama's got to do. And it's weird in the Bible when you read it. Amen. It is. This is one of the weird places that you read in Scripture. You're going, man, what's God doing? Amen. But I went back and seen it in the Scriptures. Now listen, in Genesis 25, verse 23, and the Lord said unto her, listen, he said this to Rebekah. He didn't say it to Isaac. Are y'all still with me? Listen to this. He didn't say it to Rebekah. He didn't say it to Isaac. He said it to Rebekah. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from the bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Amen. Now go down to verse 27. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter and a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, but because he did eat of the venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Did y'all get that? What did God do right there? God, wait a minute. God tells her, he tells Rebekah, that guess what? The younger will be raise up and be over the younger, or the elder. Esau is the one that was born first. And guess what? Jacob is going to take his place and get the birthright and the blessing of the elder. Amen? It's a pattern all the way through Scripture, and it ends up with Jesus. Adam was the first, but Jesus was the blessed son. Amen? And it goes like that all the way through. Now look at this. Esau, amen, was loved by his father, who? Isaac. What did I tell you the name of this sermon was? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not Esau, right? But who did Isaac love? He loved Esau. But God put it on the heart of the mother to love Jacob. God told the mother that Jacob was going to be the one that was going to be blessed over his brother. Don't y'all think that is amazingly cool? That's in your Bible? That God is so cool that he knows how fathers work and he knows how mothers work. He said, I know how they're going to work, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take the one that I'm going to bless and give them the birthright, I'm going to put him in the mother's heart. And I'm going to be the one that I'm going to take the blessing away from in the father's heart. Woo-hoo! This is dangerous territory. I don't know if we should even preach this or not. Amen? Because guess what? In her heart, she knew that God had chosen Jacob to get the blessing. Amen? And she knew that. And so right here at the end, all of a sudden, Isaac's about to die, and he's going to give Esau the blessing. And Mom's sitting there going, but God said to do something else. And I love my husband, but I love God as much as I love him, if not more. Oh, never mind. This is dangerous preaching. Because you know what she did? She was obedient to God. And she was obedient to God and not her husband at this point. Whoa. Esau went out hunting for his venison. Rebekah said, come here, Jacob. I want you to go out and kill a lamb. Oh, What are we going to do? We're going to kind of get dad and not let him know, but you need the blessing, son. I'm not a hairy man. He's going to know right away. It doesn't matter. Here, put this goat skin on your neck and on your arms. Is this crazy? It's in your Bible. I didn't make this up. Some of y'all are looking at me like, well, I didn't make it up. It's in the Word. Hey, man, it's in here. You know what? She's doing what the mother's supposed to do. She's following God and doing what God wants to get done. Praise God, because Isaac don't know any better at this point. Sometimes you got to do what God's called you to do as a mother. Because guess what? Those are your kids. They are your ministry. And you know what? Sometimes you just got to look and say, you know what? I got to do this. God's put it on my heart. There's been things my wife has said that, hey, we're going to do this with the kids because this is on my heart. You know what? She's the mom. And I'm like, okay. We ain't going to sacrifice them or nothing, but praise God, we're going to do something with them. Amen? Amen? She's made some decisions because she knows the kids. But I thought it was neat that God had placed Jacob in her heart because eventually she knew the mother is going to be she's going to get this done. Can I just be real with y'all just for a minute? I don't know if y'all like this or not, but in the church today, a lot of times women do just as much, if not more, in the church than men do. And they're always working, they're always doing, and men, we're great, well, we need to do a lot better, but a lot of times we'll come up with a great plan, get together, pray about it, talk about it, of course, get a committee together, and then come out of the committee and find out the women have already done what we told them we were going to do. Amen. Y'all, the men sitting there like, I don't like you, brother. It's okay. It's okay. It's just true. Amen. But God put it in her heart. And you know what she did? She was obedient to God. Mom, sometimes you just got to do what a mom has got to do. Sometimes, if God's put it on your heart, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. Man, that's tough. But it's true. It's biblical. Because it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not Esau. You know what? If Esau would have came back with that venison, he would have got the blessing. And it would have read not what God wanted, but what Isaac wanted. And God wanted Jacob. Are y'all ready for the last point? Y'all look like you are. Amen? 27 verse 41. Now this is going to be the toughest point, I guess. Hang with me right here. 27 verse 41. Genesis 27. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessings wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the day of mourning for my father are at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she went out and called Jacob, her younger son, and said unto him, behold my brother Esau, as touching thee, doth thou comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, arise, flee to Laban, my brother, in Haran. Y'all ready for this? I don't know if y'all can handle this part of it, but I'm going to preach it anyway. Moms, sometimes you got to let them go. Moms, sometimes you got to get out of the way. God told you to do something with them at one point, and you did it, you were obedient, you're a good wife, you're a good mother, you treated your husband right, you treated God right, you treated the children right, but there are some times where you're going to have to let them go. No response here. I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes you got to let your grown kids be the grown kids. You got to let them succeed, and you got to let them fail. You got to let them sink, or you got to let them rise. Because listen, at this point right here, they've got involved, and guess what? Esau's chasing after Jacob, and Jacob's gone, and Esau's gone, and guess what? What's mom going to do? What you're going to do is you're going to pray that what you've done over these years has worked out. You've showed them Jesus. You've shown them love. You've showed them what a good mom is, what a good home is. But now it's time to let them live their own lives. It's time for them to, listen, make their own mistakes. Fall down and get hurt and learn how to get up. See, listen, Jacob went down to Laban's house, and guess what? Jacob was a trickster, but he ran into a trickster. Hey, Laban, He created the games, amen? I'm telling you, Laban was a game player. When he showed up, Laban's like, you think you're a bad dude? I play games. He, oh, you like my daughter? Good, yeah, you can have her if you work for me for 7 years, amen? All right, great. And he said, them first 7 years went by like it was nothing, and next thing you know, on this marriage night, he didn't get his wife, he got Leah. Wait a minute, I didn't work for her. Yeah, but that's the older daughter. You got to get her. Hey, he got tricked a lot. He got hurt a lot. He got scammed a lot. But guess what he did? He found out God was good. There was a place in Jacob's life where he met God. There was a place at Bethel, a place where he met God. He laid down one night and looked up and seen angels ascending and descending. His mama wasn't there and his daddy wasn't there. Guess what? God was there. If you get them past 18 and you get them out the door, praise God, let them learn on their own some, amen? You ain't got to rescue them in every situation. Mama ain't got to come to the rescue. God, hey, mama don't got to be God to them. Let God be God. Whoo, told you it's going to be fun. You know what happened to them? What happened to it? What happened, brother? Did it end up in a terrible mess? Esau hated Jacob. It's a big mess. Jacob left and Esau's doing his thing. You know what happened in the end? Jacob came home. Jacob got all of his cattle and his wife and his children. He started heading home and some of the servants came down to him and said, your brother's waiting for you just on the other side of that river. Huh? Who, Esau? Yeah, Esau's waiting on you. You know what he did? He said, I know what I'm going to do. He lined up all his stuff. He lined up all of his sheep, all of his cattle, all of his stuff, and he lined up his kids and his wife, and he said, y'all start walking towards Esau. Amen? Y'all good? And Esau was waiting on him. But see, in the process of this, God had worked on Esau, and God had been working on Jacob. I didn't say mama had been working on him. I said God had worked on him. Amen? I'm preaching to somebody in here. You might not like what I'm preaching. You might not like the way I'm delivering it. But I want to tell you this. Some of y'all need to take your hands off him and her if they're like 20, 25, or 30. It's time for God to do some work. Amen? Ouch. He got all of his stuff. And he was hiding behind it. And he's walking. Sometimes we try to hide behind our stuff. Never mind. We try to hide behind all of our gifts and our blessings and all that. But you know what he did? He walked up and he finally gets there to him and he kind of crawls up to Esau and Esau hugs him and says, brother, it's good to see you. He goes, what's up with all this stuff? He said, that's all your stuff. I want you to have it. Amen? I want you to have that stuff. I've been hating you and I know you've been hating me. No, never mind. Y'all can't handle that. Hey, I've been hating you and you've been hating me. I stole from you. Remember when we were teenagers and I took your birthright? Remember that time you went hunting and you got so tired and I cooked them red beans right outside the woods? I got the smoke going. I got them extra spices in there and you came out and you were starving to death and I knew you was hungry. And remember I said, hey, you want some beans, brother? I'm starving, man. I'm going to die. If you give me that birthright, I'll give you these beans. Okay. You do dumb stuff with teenagers. You do real dumb stuff to your brothers when you're teenagers. Amen. Or your sisters. Amen. Here he is, though. Listen, I'm telling you, this thing's broken. It's a broken... Hey, when they left, have you ever had a broken mess in your family? Hey, man, I have too. But if you let God work it out, if you let God do it, instead of you playing God, putting your hand on everything, touching everything, doing everything for them, hey, can I preach that just a little bit further? If you keep doing that, God will have to move you out of the way where he can be God, where you'll have to stop being God. Sometimes God will have to remove you of the pedestal if you won't remove yourself. Because he's trying to work on them. He's trying to fix them. He's trying to help them. And you keep getting in the way. Here he comes back. Guess what they do? They hug. And they love one another and they bless one another. And guess what? That didn't have nothing to do with mama or daddy. That had something to do with God. God can fix the problems you have. Some of y'all need to learn how to back up, pray, and say, God, can you handle this situation? Because I've seemed to fail at it. You know what you can do in the meanwhile? You can work on other people's issues. Yours, your husband's, amen? And also some other people in your community. Because guess what? You're going to help some other people before you help your closest people. I've got some people I want to get help right now in my family. Guess what? God says, I ain't going to hear you. Go help so-and-so's family and so-and-so's family. And while you're helping their family, I'll send somebody to help your family. Amen? And some of you right now, I'm going to give you a word of encouragement. Some of you right now, your children are going through some hard times in life, and you think it's the hardest thing that's ever happened to them. And what God's really doing is He's working on them to get everything out of them where they can see Him clearly. I know in my life, I didn't get saved until I was 30 years old. You know why? Because I chose to walk away from God and everything that was good. And so, you know what my dad finally done? He said, son, I'm tired of dealing with you this way. I'm just going to pray that God does whatever it takes to get you right. I'm taking my hands off of it. You know, I'd call him every once in a while and say, Dad, I need you to rescue me. Because a lot of times I'd only call when I needed rescue. Anybody else getting them phone calls? You just need to be rescued. Guess what he would say? He got this real anointed word after a while. No, son, I can't help you. You know what I'd say? I hate you. I'm so mad at you. I can't believe you do this to me. And hang up. Guess what? I'm standing right here today preaching to you. Because a dad who loved me and showed me that who God was took his hands off of me. And guess what? God will work it out. Amen. Then you got to get serious. You got to get in your prayer closet. You got to get on these altars. And you got to say, God, I can no longer be the mother and God to these kids. I want you to be God to them. And listen, I know I'm preaching. I know it's a Mother's Day deal. But some of you kids, I want you to hear me. Some of y'all say, I'm not a kid anymore. I'm talking about anybody that was born. And that knocks us out, right? Anybody that was born, listen to me. Your mom's not God. Your dad's not God. It's not their fault anymore. What you need to do is you need to turn and seek the Lord with all your heart, life, and soul and love Him. And He'll give you a life that you can't even believe. Maybe you've been kicking against Jesus your whole life. And you've got all kinds of reasons why you have. You've got all kinds of excuses. And you've got all kinds of bitterness and hurt and pain. What I want to tell you today is God can work it out in your life like He did Jacob and Esau's. If your mom and dad fed you, housed you, clothed you, and got you to this place in your life, guess what? They done what they were supposed to do. Now let God do what He wants to do with your life. He wants to get glory out of it. You're saying, well, what? I don't know what that looks like. I didn't either. But the best life I've ever lived is a life surrendered to Christ Jesus. Amen. The best life you'll ever live is one surrendered to Christ Jesus. And what that looks like, I have no idea, but I know one thing. It's life and life more abundantly. As everybody stands, they come get a song of invitation. If God's dealt with your heart on any level here today, you can come and pray.